We continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 16. Jaya and Vijaya cursed by the sages. Today we will read text 33. However, it does not have purport, so I will carry on 34 and we will take 35 as well. So please kindly repeat, we have 33 on the board. Tau tu girvana rishabo
Tau tu girvana rishabo
Dustarattari lokata
Dustarattari lokata.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. But those two gatekeepers, the best of the demigods, their beauty and luster diminished by the curse of the Brahmanas, became morose and fell from Vaikuntha, the abode of the Supreme Lord. We continue with text 34. Tada Vaikuntha Dishana Tayor Nipatmanayo Hakaro Mahan Asit Vimangriyeshu Putraka. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Then as Jaya and Vijaya fell from the Lord's abode, a great roar of disappointment arose from all the demigods who were sitting in their splendid airplanes. It's too loud. Text 35, there is a purport. Taveva hi aduna prapto prasada paravau hare. Now it became too soft. Diter jathara nirvishtam kashyapam teja ubhanam. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Lord Brahma continued. Those two principal doorkeepers of the personality of Godhead have now entered the womb of Diti, the powerful semen of Kashyapa Muni having covered them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ke. Here is a clear proof of how a living entity coming originally from Vaikuntha Loka is encaged in material elements. The living entity takes shelter within the semen of a father, which is injected within the womb of a mother. And with the help of the mother's emulsified ovum, the living entity grows a particular type of body. In this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kashyapa Muni was not in order when he conceived two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with the quality of anger. It is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional. For this purpose, the Garbhadhana Samskara is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. If the mind of the father is not sober, the semen discharge will not be very good. Thus, the living entity wrapped in the matter produced from the father and mother will be demoniac, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The conditions of conception are to be carefully studied. This is a very great science. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuran Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Grantura Chima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has explained his encyclopedia of wisdom and knowledge, which can assist the living entities in this world to realize their position and to give them the opportunity, the chance to become delivered from suffering. Suffering is part of the material creation. We don't know any person in this world that doesn't suffer. I haven't met a person like that. So, the cause of suffering is simply explained in Bhagavatam, is simply our arrival in the material world. Just like Jai Vijay, they are arriving now in the material world, in the womb of Diti. And immediately, they become subject to suffering. So the material world is definitely designed with inbuilt suffering. So, the purpose then will be how to get out of it. How to get out of this suffering. So, Prabhupada explains the material world is like a prison. So, in prison, inevitably there will be suffering. Whether it's physical or psychological. Because of the confinement, you can experience psychological depression, suffering due to the limitation. And also some physical discomfort is there. So, either caused by the police, the guards, or by other inmates, or by whatever, the hard bed or something in the prison. So, there is different causes. So, in the material world, also, we have three causes of suffering. Adidevik, Adibhautik, and Adiatmik. So, we suffer from our own body and mind, from other living entities, and from the devatas, from the demigods. So, this suffering is inbuilt in this world, just like suffering is inbuilt in prison. You cannot have just prison where everything is cool and nice. I never heard any prisoner saying everything is perfect. I know prisoners nowadays, they want to stay in prison, because the state pays for their food and lodging. But I don't think they're still happy inside, you know. So there is no real happiness. So the whole objective of Bhagavatam is to explain to us what is our existential position with the idea of giving us opportunity to be released. First, understanding that we are responsible for our being in this world. Krishna didn't create the prison house because he wanted to have fun just to torture living entities. Sometimes people blame God. They say, why did God create this world? He is imperfect. He created this world of suffering. even Charles Darwin's argument. That's how he became interested in doing research. He was a Christian, but by observing the suffering in the world, he came to the conclusion that perhaps there is no God, because if there was a God, why is there suffering in the world? This was his motivation for becoming a scientist. So, even to this day, many people think that because there is suffering, this is a good argument against the existence of God. They think if God was there, this world would have been perfect. God means a perfect person, someone who can create something perfect, someone who is in control, someone who has absolute control over everything. So if there is such a person who has absolute control over everything, therefore, if he creates something, it would have been absolutely perfect. That's what people expect. And there would have been no suffering. But because we see there is suffering, they say there is no God. Some people think God is evil, but most people think there is no God, because it doesn't make sense if there is a God to be evil, because that immediately disqualifies him from being God. Because evil is an imperfection and God should not be imperfect, right? This is the logic. So, in this world, we see that suffering is inbuilt, and how do we understand it? So Prabhupada explains, he comes to our aid. Prabhupada came to create a spiritual renaissance on the planet. If you observe history, you will see that at some point, science and religion became divorced. They were married nicely, but just before the period of Renaissance, due to the abuse of the Catholic Church, we're talking especially about Western world, which is the most influential culture at the moment on the planet, we see that the Catholic Church was practically dogmatic and even going to the point of killing people who had different views. Like, I'm sure you heard there was a person who was called Giordano Bruno. He was burnt on the stake because he had a different idea about... he thought it's that the earth is rotating around the sun rather than the sun around the earth. The church had this heliocentric idea and the geocentric idea. So they were fighting, and then this person had a different idea, so kill him, burn him. So many instances like that. Any person that had a different idea was killed. And that led to cultural, first rather scientific revolution, and gradually that led to cultural revolution. And science initially was theistic. The first scientists were theistic, like Newton was much later. Up to the time of Newton, they were theistic, more or less. Even Einstein was somewhat theistic. So the first scientists were like Copernicus, Galileo. They were thinking that they want to explain scientifically how God created the world or how everything exists. But gradually, with march of time, the scientists became agnostics. Then they became atheists. And now is the time when they are becoming mystics. In other words, coming back to understanding the possibility of something and someone behind the creation. So, the evil of the world, Prabhupada came to our aid to explain this. That's why I'm saying he created a spiritual renaissance. He came to bring science and religion again. He came to remarry them. It's another marriage that Prabhupada conducted. Conducted many marriages as a sannyasi. And another marriage is the science and religion. Because he knew that marriages are good. And the ultimate marriage is to remarry the scientific approach with the spiritual approach. And in that way, he knew that the people will make advancement to understand. So Prabhupada is closing this cycle of Renaissance. They reached to the point of atheism and they couldn't go forward. And Prabhupada is coming to give the mystical aspect. And you see in the 70s, Prabhupada created Bhaktivedanta Institute with Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And that's where, at least in our movement, the mystical aspect of science became more manifested. So, simultaneously, some other movement was arising in the world parallel to Bhaktivedanta Institute. That movement is called Intelligent Design Movement. And this movement is operational also up to this day, and they're doing a lot of research which connects and ties in with the research of Bhaktivedanta Institute. And both of these bodies, scientific bodies, are bringing new light to this age of darkness. And they are contributing to the remarriage of science and spirituality and to bringing people back to understanding the world as it is. So, particularly the Bhaktivedanta Institute is going deeper in terms of theistic explanation because they have based their teachings on Prabhupada's explanations, while the Intelligent Design Movement is trying to bring the debate up to the point of there is a designer. Right? Gradual debate leads to the point of there is a designer. We don't know who it is. We don't want to discuss it. It's not our business. We're scientists. We're not the theologians. We're not the philosophers. But what we see in science, in the data that we have today, it points to an intelligent designer. And they end there. But Prabhupada takes everything further because Prabhupada is the master of all theologians, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he simply explains that the suffering in this world is normal because the living entities are in unnatural position. Just like if you throw a human being in the middle of the ocean, you think he'll be very happy. After some time, you'll get tired and you'll start suffering. And you know, it is unnatural for any living being from the earth to be thrown into the ocean. So similarly, Prabhupada gave this analogy of this material world as the ocean of material suffering. So we jumped into the ocean of material suffering by our choice. We thought we can enjoy. It's an irrational thought. Sometimes people criticize. They say, how can you be Satchitananda Vigraha, full of bliss and full of knowledge, and how can you just jump into an ocean of ignorance, you know, like that? It's a good argument. But I had a realization yesterday. And my realization is the following. You've seen, and probably you've done this, a lot of people know that some experience that they want to engage in will cause them some suffering. But still they want to enjoy it. Yes? So, this is the same. We have the knowledge that this world will cause suffering, but still we want to explore it. Just like sometimes people go to horror movies, you know. They know it's going to be horrible and they'll be like, you know, holding on to the seat and, you know, feeling like this negative energy, you know. But still they want to go and see it. So this is exactly what it is. We just wanted to watch this horror movie, you know, and we came into this material world. It's our choice. Prabhupada explains. Krishna didn't kick us out. In this case, Jaya Vijaya were asked by Krishna to leave because the sages cursed them. But again, we can say it was their own behavior that led to that curse of the sages, and then the Lord requesting them to come to this world. So we can never blame Krishna. We can never say he is evil, he created this world to torture us. The fact is that fire exists, and if you touch fire, you'll suffer. So this world is like fire. In fact, this world is called Maya, and Maya rhymes very nicely with fire. Fire, Maya. It's very nice rhyme, poetic. You can do poetry. Fire, Maya. If you want to touch the Maya, you'll touch fire and you'll suffer. So it is the choice of the living entity. And when we understand that it's our choice that we have taken, then again, by choice, we can decide to leave this material world. But to make that choice, we need information. And that's where Srimad Bhagavatam comes in. That's where Prabhupada's role comes in, to give us that information to excite us about leaving this world. A lot of the time, when people hear about spirituality, they are not so interested because they think the ultimate objective of spiritual life is to be bored. They think, if I go to the spiritual light or whatever, I'll be just vibrating like one energy. I don't want that. I'm having fun here. I can go to the beach. I can do this. I can hike. I can enjoy the world, you know. It's such a nice world. What am I going to do in this light, just vibrate? I don't want to go there. Or some people propagate the objective is zero. You'll become zero. You will not suffer anymore. Some people say, no, no, I prefer to suffer but to be something. It's like that, you know, it's rational thinking. The pleasure of being something is inseparable, you know, from the living entity. You know, because we are actually something, according to the teachings of Bhagavatam, we are the soul. So we are something, and that's inseparable. To have an identity, to be doing something, to be active. So for us to go into some light or to become nothing is hellish. Prabhupada says someone has to be very frustrated to want to merge into nothingness or to become some light. Someone has to be very frustrated from life to actually desire this. And that's also temporary. The moment the frustration is gone, they want back. Prabhupada said when they go Brahmajyoti, they get bored and they come down. So, we got to take the responsibility, and Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to understand why we are here, so that we can take charge of our life and stop blaming others, stop blaming God, stop blaming the neighbor or anyone in particular. Everything lies in our own hands. I'm sorry. So, this purport is very beautiful because Prabhupada embarks on two aspects. One is the biological creation of bodies, and the second is the consciousness behind the creation of a human being. So I decided to talk a little bit about on the research of the intelligent design movement in relation to body creation, which will help us to get more detailed information in connection to the evidence that is there in the world that is backing up the idea of the existence of God. So, a few points are there. So I'll try to go quickly through them. They're quite complex, but I try to simplify them. Of course, I'm not a scientist and I cannot claim to fully understand everything. But in this way, by presenting this, I'm also challenging you to become more thoughtful and to be more open-minded to different ideas and to explore different things so that you could become more capable teachers of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was very eager that his disciples and grand disciples become very astute presenters of Krishna consciousness. So I found that this research by Intelligent Design Movement, the Discovery Institute in Seattle, is very powerful information that can certainly help us in our teaching. Whether it's on book distribution, whether it's giving lecture to an audience of devotees or non-devotees, this is information that is crucial. And of course, you can also draw on the information or wisdom from the Bhaktivedanta Institute in their publications. And both combined can bring this light, this renaissance in the world of remarrying science and spirituality. So let's look at that. So there is a great debate about origin, even to this day. And it's been always since that divorce of science and spirituality. And nowadays, the deciding factor is discovered to be information. Nowadays, information is discovered to be the deciding factor of this debate. So now I'm going to look into this. There is this statement, and in the beginning was information. You know, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, but now they say, and in the beginning was information. But now the question is, where is this information coming from? So we're going to look at this. So there is so much complexity in terms of biological forms. We have millions of biological forms. Of course, there is a big extinction of species today, but still we can see that there are many, many species, and that means tremendous variety of biological forms. So we know that today that these biological forms are very much linked with information. The creation of these forms is linked with information. In the 1950s, two scientists, Watson and Crick, they discovered the double helix of the DNA, and they discovered that within the DNA, this is a nucleotide molecule. The DNA molecule, they discovered that there is digital information, 4-character digital information, A, T, C, and G. So basically, they discovered that to create an amino acid, information is required, one amino acid. The amino acid creates proteins, about 20 of them, 20 amino acids produce minimum 20, one protein. And of course, these amino acids have to be very specific to produce a very specific protein. And this very specific protein can produce very specific cell. And this very specific cell can produce very specific organ, which makes the biological body. So, it's not just random information that causes this complexity.